This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
It's different. So these students are getting, almost six, maybe five with some breaks in the middle of there, right, brother? 5.5 hours of teaching. So I've been to his home. I've met his family. Been to the village where he grew up at. It was an incredible journey for me. And he and his wife have become dear, dear friends of mine. I love them dearly. And so I am so honored to be part of their lives. And the reason that I'm part of their lives really is because 30 plus years ago, a pastor by the name of Cliff Reynolds continued to be faithful to the call to teach the Word of God. And if it would not be for that, I would not be here today. Our friends from Indy would not be here today. And so I was part of this church. And I see a lot of new faces. Some of you I think I might know, but I haven't seen you for a long time. My eyes got older. It's not you. But I'm so thankful to be part of this church. This is the place where God called me to learn about how to do the Word, how to read the Word, how to do the Word, and then how to hear from God some. And so I was in not this building, but this church. I've never been in this building as a church member. I'm from the old school church. So when he said old friend, I wanted to say, Pastor, I'm not old. I'm not that old, you know. But I'm from the old church, and my mother and sister, my brother-in-law Paul, we you know all them, and we come from the old church, and honored to pray out by those beautiful trees that blossomed, those purple flowers. You remember those, y'all? Anybody remember? And of course, worked the streets for Jesus for a few years. So I was part of the church there for 6 years. And then, the Lord led my wife and I and family to move and go to Bible school. And then we came back, did another 2 years. And then after that, we left and started pastoring, which we've been doing now about 21 years, maybe a little over 21 years. And so all that is fruit because of one man that obeyed the call of God. And I want to tell you, my friend, you have, maybe you know to some degree, but none of us realize how important it is to pray for our pastors and to support them and to love them and to check on them. See, I talk to pastor all the time. And I'm out of time. I told him, I said, you give me the microphone, you're taking a chance, Pastor, Give a preacher a microphone. But anyway, thank God for Pastor Reynolds. He is my pastor. I talk to him often, not just once a year, but I talk to him often. And I have a great love for him. Great love for him. Come on up, brother. Sister, come on up here. Praise the Lord. Let's welcome these precious couple. Sue Sheil, and I call her Mona, but her name is Monica. Monica. I call her Mona. That's her nickname. But, brother, you want to say anything about your wife? I mean, I don't care. Maybe we'll give her the mic? I don't know what to do. Ladies first. Praise the Lord. Come on, sister. This is our precious sister here. And thank God for this couple. So I'm done. I'm going to sit down. Here's all you. He's the boss.
Good morning. It's good to be here. And this is our last trip of this year. Last day. Tomorrow we'll be leaving for India. So, yeah. So it's a blessing to be here and such an honor and blessing to Morp. He just loves us. I don't know about myself, but I can see his love. Yeah. And he introduced his own pastor to us, so Very grateful. Yeah. Thank you for having us here. Amen. My name is Monica Peters Kumar. Married to Sushil Kumar since 2001. And 23rd of April, again, we'll celebrate our marriage. And we have no children. But we have four church, three branch churches, full of spiritual children of all ages, all the languages of India. And we have a Bible college since 2011. We started our Bible college as a Life of Faith Bible College, and the Rhema approached to us to be Rhema. So we prayed, and I knew that this has to be Rhema. I knew it when I read the book of Brother Hagin, Plan, Purpose, and Pursuit, speaking about the prophecy that he had in 89, that North India, how he had a camp meeting, and a man standing in front of him from North India with turban and with brown skin, asking him in the vision, during that camp meeting on the stage, come and help us. Come and help us. The enemy is hindering us. There's a great move of the Holy Spirit, but the enemy is hindering us. So that man in the vision was asking Brother Hagin, come and help us. So when I read that book, and I knew that this has to be Rhema. And I used to tell my husband, we are going to be Rhema. No matter what. He'll say, we are not graduated. We didn't go to Rhema. Nothing. We went to somewhere else, Bible College. I mean, Sam Smucker's, they sponsor the Bible College there. So we went there. So he is like, he's saying, we can't be Rhema. You have to go there. You have to be Rhema. I said, we are Rhema. We study Rhema, we eat Rhema, we sleep Rhema, we breathe Rhema, we do Rhema. Everything in our life, it's Rhema. And in our Bible college, we already had Rhema teachers before we could be a Rhema. So when they approached to Sushil, he said, you both, your husband and wife, pray. I said, I'm not going to pray. I know I need to be Rhema. And he said, oh, he gave 2 days to pray. So you just pray. And I'm not going to pray. I said, tell him, this is what I want, Rhema. Yes, and now it is, I mean, we are the third campus. We were third campus that time. Now it's there are six campuses, and we are one of them. And it's a privilege and honor to be with the DNA of Jesus and with Brother Hagin. Oh, praise the Lord. So I was born and brought up Catholic. And from my family, everyone was Catholic. And I'm 8 months premature baby born with all kind of issues in my body, arthritis and heart blockages and everything. I was a sickly baby. My mother got to see me after 3 days, and 12 doctors were there around me when as I was born. So I'm a miracle baby. Because God had the purpose for me. And he has not done with me. There is still, oh my gosh, to walk on that anointed path that he has for me. So I am very excited for my coming up plans for God. So I was like premature, very sickly, and my brothers, I have three brothers, they are half brothers, but no one can tell them that they are my half brothers. No one can tell that. It's, yeah. So all these kind of things were in my life. And sickness was there, depression was there, heartbroken was there, hatred was there, offense was there, anger was there, grudges was there, unforgiveness was there, mad at God, mad at people. I used to say, why did you send me here? Why? What were I doing to you in heaven? I knew there's God, and I knew he's on somewhere up. So I look at him and I'll get mad. And the world will not look pleasant to me. Not beautiful. I will be ready to die anytime. And I tried, but didn't success because God has his plan. So in that Catholic background, I am the youngest and the only daughter of my family. I got saved. And that was a challenge for me. Sharing everything to my brothers and my mom and my family because my uncles are priests and my aunties are nuns. So it was very tough. But God has his plan. He has his plan. That's why I'm a miracle baby. So he made me the door of salvation for that family. And today my family is saved. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. My mother speaks in tongues. She believes the believer's authority. She loves that book. She prays that book and Ephesians prayer for her children, taking one name, all the names of her sons and daughters and family members. She believes that she has that book all the time, believer's authority. And I got married. That sickness came back. Depression came back. I read this book, God's Medicine. In the month of May, I was under the blankets. Very hot. I was under the blankets. It was a hot season, but I was under the blankets, 2-3 blankets, shivering with pain in my body, my joints, my bones. Everything is hurting. Then I took this book and started reading. There was a girl in the house. I asked her, you know, it used to be in olden days when children get married, a girl get married, they send a maid or somebody with to help and be with. So my mom sent, because I was a sickly one, they knew, a girl of 12 years old to help me in the house. So I told her to bring this book. I read this book, and I reached to meditation. Meditation chapter. There's a chapter called Meditate These Verses from Brother Hagin. And I reached to that book. I don't know when that blanket moved from me, when that sweating came on me, and I'm out of that blanket every time, sitting on the bed, and the oil, I felt there's oil just running over, and I am hot. And I'm saying to that girl, see, I got healed. I got healed. I'm going to take bath. I'm feeling so hot. And that girl, she knew I'm a believer. I follow Jesus. I said, do you know who saved me? She said, I told her, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. I said, do you want Jesus? She said, yes. I said, okay, right now, confess Jesus. She said, I want what you talk. Yeah. Okay, believe in the name of Jesus. speak in tongues. And she started speaking in tongues. This book is powerful. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is a healer. Amen. Are you ready for get healed tonight, today? You know, we had a meeting on Wednesday, and everyone who came up got healed. There was a healing in the air, just in another church in Lancaster area. But if you believe, you will be healed. Amen? So sit with the expectation. You will not go with the sickness back home. Okay? Amen. And I want to thank Pastor Cliff. Thank you so much, sir, for having us. And Brother Chris, it's an honor to have him come there. And it was a great honor. And he's a great teacher. I loved it. And we are so blessed in being with him and his church and the family. And thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. It's an honor. Thank you very much for having us. And I don't know how many minutes I left with, but I'll talk a little bit. Amen. You know, I want to go to a book of Ephesians with me for chapter 3, please. And here's Paul praying for the church of Ephesians. And, you know, but I'm going to start with verse 17, the prayer, the thing he said, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Why? The church of Ephesians was one of the best church. But Paul prayed for that they may know the love of Christ, which passes all the knowledge or understanding. Why? Because a lot of time we say, oh, God loves me, and most of time we tell others God loves you, but we are not concerned if God loves me or not. We forgot that. We preach the gospel to others. We talk about God's love to others, but then we forget that God loves us too. And sometimes that's just the knowledge in the mind. That's just sometimes emotion. But God's love is not just the emotion, but it's in the spirit. Because the emotion, love of emotions can change any time. But the love of God, which is agape, which is godly love, which is unconditional, does not change. The love of God does not vary to a person to person. So Paul knew the value of knowing love of God. And he knew that church misses that part. He said, I pray that prayer for you. That you may know the love of Christ. You know, I was wondering for this. And I was thinking about, if you guys go to Mark chapter 10, please, with me. Thank God for his love. You know, we need to have a revelation. Guys, if nobody loves you, let me tell you, one person loves you. His name is Jesus. Doesn't matter what the life you are living right now, but he still loves you. His love never changes. Mark chapter 10, please. And I'm going to read from verse 17. So that you can have a background of this story here. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You know, he wants to get saved. What shall I do to get saved? I have eternal life. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." You know, Jesus spoke the word. He taught the word. He said, this is what you need to do. You know, salvation is not beyond God's word. It's in God's word. It's in God's word. He did not say, "Oh, go fasting for 40 days. Pray for so many days." He didn't say that, those things. Amen. He said the basics, what he need to do. But he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Even knowing his weakness. He had a weakness because Jesus mentioned that weakness. Look at, just finish that, then we'll talk a little bit on that. And Jesus loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack." How many of you are here, or me? I'm not asking you to lift a hand. You have a lack in your life, or you fail in your life, or a weakness in your life. We all do. We all do. And this man did. This man did. And Jesus pointed out. Real love will point out the things which we lack in life. It doesn't say, "Oh, okay, it's all right. It's all right. I love you, brother. It's all right." No. The real love will always tell you the truth, but with the love. With the love. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." What was the lack in this man's life? He loved the money. He loved his riches. You know, having a riches is not a sin, but loving it is a problem. Love of the money is the root of all evil. That's the same thing here. It's the same problem. But you know, he had this root of evil, but Jesus still loved him. Do you see that picture? Jesus did not send him away. But the verse says, "But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possession." You know, the word of Jesus can make you sad too. Hello? Hello, I said. Are you listening? The Bible says he was sad at this word. Something, when God wants to work with us and speaks to us, and we don't like it, that makes us sad. And Jesus did not send him away. He went away. But Jesus still loved him. Sometimes people say, "Oh, why God is so good? He's sending people to hell." God is not sending anybody to hell. God still loves them. But they are going away because they are sad of his word. Sad at his word. Because he said, "Follow me." They don't want to follow him. But he did not say, "Go away." They went away. people go away, but he's not sending anybody to hell. Right? We need to change somewhere. Sometimes people preach a gospel, get so excited and start preaching a judgment. Your God will send you to hell. No, he's not. His people chose that way. Jesus did not send. Jesus wanted him to get saved. The Bible says he loved him. He loved him. He asked a question, how should I get saved? And he told him an answer with love. Hey, if you are preaching to somebody and someone does not get saved, don't get upset, because Jesus preached to this man, he didn't get. That's all right? It's not on God everything. It's on people to respond to his word. It's to respond to God's will. And many times our will crosses with God's will and people don't want to. Now I want to talk to the believers. And in our lives, God still loves us. But there are many times when he tells us to bless us more, he tells us to do something or get rid of something. And we don't. So it's not God who's holding his blessing away from you, but it's you or me. It's you and me. You know, I don't know about if you ever paid attention to John chapter 17. But if you see that chapter, you will know the love of Christ for you. Man, that's powerful. I have not heard anybody speak on that really till today. But the Lord dealt with me on that chapter. Go to John chapter 17, please. And I want you to just know his love for you. And when you know his love, you know his love for you, you will be able to receive whatever he has for you. Because you know he loves you and you have a faith in that love. Amen. He said, I pray that you may know the love of Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Rooted and grounded in that love. Love of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Rooted and grounded in the love of God. You are so rooted, so grounded that nothing can shake you up because you know God loves you. You know that God loves you. Hey, my brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to somebody here today. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. I'm talking to someone. Don't look back. You're looking at your weaknesses and you're saying, I can't. God doesn't walk with me. God doesn't love me. I tell you, he loves you. He loves you. And don't look back, please. Don't look back. I said, don't look back. Don't look back. Hallelujah. Nira baho soroko. Oh, nira baho sorondoloro ni ba shandane be sirakandala raba. Hallelujah, Lord. Don't look back. Don't go back. You're trying a little bit. You're trying to step back, but don't do it. Don't do it. He loves you. He still loves you. If he loved that rich man, he knew his weakness. He loves you too, even knowing your weakness. Go to chapter 17, please. Did you find it? John chapter 17. Man, I love this whole chapter. Let's read from verse 6. You will enjoy. If you have your Bible, I want you to read it. You will love it. You will love it. It's just for you. Just for me. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to preach myself happy. If you don't, it's your problem. But this is the word of God. I'm going to talk and read this, what Jesus think about me. Amen? And Jesus is praying to the Father for his disciples. How many of you are his disciples here? It means you are included today. Amen. In this face. Hallelujah. He said, I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. He's talking to the Father. He said, the men you have given to me from the world, they were yours. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Jesus is saying, they were yours. He's telling the Father. If someone tells you anything, or a devil tells you anything, that you are not God, tell him, I am his, because Jesus is saying. Hey, it's a Jesus talking. Even not Paul, not Peter. Jesus talking this. They were yours. Say, I am his. Come on, say it. Say it, I am his. Say it again. Come on. Hey, keeping your mouth shut will not change. You get saved by confessing. And I want you to say it. Jesus is not ashamed to say that they are yours. And I should not be ashamed that I am his. Say it again. I am his. I am his. Hallelujah. You know, we are getting heated up in the cold weather. Hallelujah. I usually feel a lot of cold, but I don't here today. Really. I'm so blessed. Thank God. Hallelujah. You know, the word of God makes me excited. And he said, you gave them to me, Father. You know, Father gave us to Jesus. He had eye on you before. He had eyes on us. And he gave us to Jesus. And they have kept your word. How many of you kept his word? We all. You may have some errors. Everybody does. Right? These disciples had. They failed. But Jesus is not talking about their weakness here. Oh Lord, Peter needs to change here. John is a problem with anger. Peter is sometimes so excited. He doesn't know what to when to speak, what to speak. No, Jesus didn't talk that. He's talking so good about them. He's talking positive. He said, they have kept your word. Hey, this is the same Jesus is talking about you and me today. Let's think good about you sometime. That's what he thinks about on you and me. Amen. Now, they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. We all believe that. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. We all do that. I pray for them. Jesus. What are you saying? I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Jesus is not praying for the worldly people, but he's praying for you. Hey, you are more important for him than the world. I said you are more important for God than the world. That's not my word. Jesus himself said. He said, I'm praying for them, not for the world. You know, we preach the love of God to the world and we forget that God loves me too. But I want to tell you, he loves you. He loves you. You are more important for him than the world. He said, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. Amen. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours. And yours are mine. and I'm glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. You know he's concerned about? He said, I'm not going to stay in the world any longer, but they are. He knows that what they're going to face. He knows what you're going to face. Because he lived in the world. He saw what the world looked like. He's not just looking at from a heaven. He experienced the world as a man. No, sitting in the throne, God cannot experience the world. But he became a man to experience the world. Experience or knowing are two different things. God knows the world, knows everything. But the hardship, he didn't experience because there is nothing hardship for him. Right? Do you understand? But he came as a man, lived in the world, and experienced that. That's what he said. I'm no longer in the world, but they will be. What it tells you? It tells you he understands everything you face in life in this world. Everything. It can be a hardest or very easiest one. It can be a sickness or a disease. It can be opposition. You know, when I got saved, I know that. How my family treated me, despised me, cursed me. My own sister said to me one time, she said, "You, the work you do, the gospel you preach, you are like a beggar." That's a beggar thing. You take that small ball and sit at the roadside. That's what you do. Just do that, she said. You know what did I do? Sitting in front of her, I said, "Thank you, Jesus." That's what I said. It hurted. I was hurt. Another relative of mine, my father's uncle, my father was not nice to me. He's sitting with my father and telling me, the work you do, I'm only talking about the world. And Jesus understand that. And that relative said, I was not married at that time. He said, no one will give you their daughter to you to be married. You will get a girl who will be just like the cars on the street, somebody. That's what he said. They despised me. But that's okay. He understands you. He understands you. And that hurts. And my father was sitting, he said nothing. He let him say those things to me. And I didn't say anything. There is a time you keep your mouth shut, let people say. I'm not here to take a revenge. Amen. Why I'm saying this? I'm not even not planning to say this thing, but when he said, I'm no longer in the world, but they will be, he understand that part. I'm not going to have a pity party. Oh God, they said to me this. But those things changed. My sister, who said those things to me that you do, the things you do, it's like a beggar's thing. And I said, thank you, Jesus, shouted in front of her. And the same evening she tells me, and she asks me a question. She said, why you stay so happy and glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, Jesus. Jesus is the reason of my gladness. Amen. Amen. That was not easy. On my flesh, on my emotions. But I am grounded and rooted in the love of God. I know one person loves me. Hallelujah. If the whole world hates, but one loves. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And they are all saved after that. I led my father to the Lord, my sisters, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. God understands your hardship. For those who you have given me, for they are yours. Okay, let's go further. Okay. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. What did he say? He's praying. They are staying in the world, so keep through them. Protect them in the name which you have given me. Hey, somebody is prayed for you and me. And his name is Jesus. And his prayers are always answered. Do you think his prayer is answered, this prayer? When he say, God, Father, I pray that you protect them in my name. Huh? Are you included in that? Are you protected? Hey! I'm not speaking a great revelation. I'm just reading scriptures. This is the love of Christ. He's passionate for you. He's crazy for you. Mad for you. He said, protect them in the name which you have given me. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's his desire, that his joy may be fulfilled in us. Hello. He wants us to be fulfilled, full of joy, and with his joy. With his joy. That's his prayer. He doesn't want the church people or his disciples to come to the church. I'm not good. I'm not doing it. No. He wants you to come with the full of joy. That's his prayer. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching myself happy. Glory to God. I don't know how much time I have. All the time? Okay, we'll preach till night today then. No. But this is amazing. I'm just reading scriptures. And I'm getting excited by reading this. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them. Hello? It's not a new thing. Oh, the world hates us. They don't like us. They don't like. This is not normal. This is very normal. Right. Jesus has already talked to the Father about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He said, world hated them.
That's right.
So if the world hates you, you should not be crying. You should not be sensitive. Oh, they don't like me. They don't like me. You know, the nation I live, we come from India where there's 1.4 billion people. 1.4 billion. Second in a population from China. We will cross China and maybe just this year or next year. Yeah. And 80% Hindus. 15% Muslims. We are 2-3%. Man, they hate us. They burn the churches. What should we do? Oh, God, please. No. My joy is fulfilled.
Yes.
His joy is fulfilled in me.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus already settled that thing. He already talked about that. He said the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world.
Amen.
He put you and me in the same status. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? He's not talking about the weakness.
No.
And he knew they will fail him also.
Yeah.
But he's still talking good about it. He's talking good about them.
Yes.
That's his love. Hey, that's his love.
Amen. Glory.
That's his love.
Hallelujah.
He said, they are just like me. Woo-hoo, glory to God. I love it. I don't know about you. If people say all kinds of things about you, doesn't matter. But he thinks that you are like him. Is your master saying? Who created you? So we have to stop a pity party. I think we knew, right?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Oh, I just thank you, Lord. They are not of the world. No, sorry. Then, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He's praying. He prayed that prayer for us. So don't worry about anything. They are not of the world, just I am. As I am not of the world, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, this is sanctification. When you read Bible, it makes a sanctification. It brings sanctification. When you listen to messages, this preaching is sanctification. He said, sanctify them with the truth. Truth is your, the word is your word is the truth. That's why we need to read Bible. That's why we need to listen to messages. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, verse 20. I do not pray for those alone, these alone, but also for those who will believe in them through their word. That's you.
That's, right.
That's me. 2,000 years ago,
yeah.
He prayed for us.
Yeah.
He prayed already for the future. He said, I'm not just praying for them right now, but I'm praying for them, those who will believe their words. You or me are believing their words, right?
Yeah.
We believe God's word.
Right.
We believe the gospel. It's written by the disciples.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Amen.
Amen. The oneness is so important. But it's only going to happen if we understand the love of God. We can leave our difference aside when we know the love of Christ, or we are rooted and grounded in the love. The problem is not a doctrinal difference, or people acting differently. The problem is, we really are not rooted and grounded in love. And then the oneness will come.
That's right. Yeah.
If you love someone, and even they say things, you will still be okay, as my sister said to me. I just didn't say anything to her. I just said, thank you, Jesus. Because I loved her. And that changed her. That changed them. Amen? Amen? How you can love someone if you don't know if you are loved by God? The problem with the people, they don't love the world because, or don't love the Christian brothers and sisters, because they don't really know they are loved by God. They say a lot of things, but they don't have a revelation that Jesus really loved them. That's why they have a pitting parties on all kinds of things in life. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This is a powerful. He said, the world may know that, Father, you have loved them as you have loved me. You know, even God has no difference in his love for Christ or us. It's the same level of love. Same level of love. Same level of love. Jesus loved the young ruler. Because you or me did something, that does not change the God's love for you and me. If you have sinned, that have not changed God's love for you. He still loves you. David sinned. And God sent the prophet Nathan to him because God loved David, wanted to save his life. He was not agreeing with his sin. He rebuked on that. But love will rebuke always. But God wanted to save David's life. But that was not going to happen until unless he repents. He needed to know what he was doing. So the love reached out to him. Not a judgment. Hey, that was not a judgment. That was a love. Telling him the story. What you did. And David said, I confessed my sin. I have sinned. And Nathan said, God has forgiven you and you will not die. That was a love. That was a love, I said. When God tells you, don't do this, that's love. When God tells you, repent, that's love. When God tells you to walk with him, that's love. Follow me, that's love. Take up your cross, that's love. Hey, that's love. Love is not just provision, but the love is following Christ. That's love. Repentance is love. Confessing sin is love. You have a confidence in him that, Lord, I know. When I confess, I will be forgiven because I know your love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Stand up at your feet. Stand up at your feet. Some of you, before I ask you anybody to come up for a healing, I want someone who wants to come and say, God, I want to give my life to you. I want to surrender my life to that love of Christ. I want you to come forward, please. I want to give you a chance to follow the love of Christ. I don't know what you did. God doesn't care what you did. But he loves you. He loves you. But you need to accept that love. You need to accept that love. Come on, if anybody is here, please. Yeah, but just before that, we'll give altar call for a healing after that. But I want people for a repentance and want to give their life to Jesus.
Amen. All those that are on walkers, canes, elderly, you come on up first. You come on up first. All those with prayer that need prayer, please, will you go to your right hand, last aisle to the wall? And all those over here, will you go to this wall on your left? And we're going to bring you down so we are organized here and God can do a mighty work. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Yes, anybody come up if you need that. Come up here. Anybody else? One sister. Give her a good hand, please. Come up. Somebody have a boldness to come up that I need that. Come up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. Sister, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Doesn't matter what. So will you like to pray with me to receive Jesus? Okay. So close your eyes and pray this prayer. Father, I come to you and I thank you for the love of Christ. I believe in Jesus and I confess him as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I confess you, Lord, that you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. Let your plans be done in my life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Touch her. Let your peace in the presence of God. Nira baho soroko bondolo rende nge la rabana bo shondo no bo soroko loro. Thank you, Father. Oh, things will change for you. It's going to change. It's going to change. Don't worry about it. It's going to change. It's changing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Great victory for you. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's now we'll pray for the healing. I just want you, the people who coming for a healing, I want you to listen carefully. We just had a tremendous healings on a Wednesday night. Everyone who came up in the line got healed. There was a man, 80 years old, came with the cane, walking with the cane. And I tried to take a cane from him. He said, I will fall if you take a cane. But I said, if you don't believe, you will not be healed. That's sure. Faith is an action. And he took the cane and he didn't fall and he started walking and I didn't even pray. Woman sitting in the backside, pastor's wife's sister. She said, I was bragging on my new glasses because she bought us expensive glasses. But she said, when I came to the church tonight, I forgot it at home. So sitting beside, the screens were blurred. But in the end, she was seeing clearly. I didn't even pray. She was just got healed. People just got healed sitting at the, and another church, people got healed just sitting at the chairs. People who could not sit on the floor for more than 5 minutes. And they said they trouble for a, if they sit on a floor for 5 minutes, the lady said, it will be trouble for me for many days after that. Because there is pain. But I said, okay, sit down then. Sit down then more than 5 minutes. She did. Because that was a faith, action of her faith. And she did. And got up after more than 5 minutes and she was perfectly all right. Everyone, a testimony after testimony. I'm just telling you, last Wednesday, last Sunday, amazing. God can do wonders. And Pastor Christie Church, a young woman came with the clutches and asked her to leave the clutches. And the evening service, she came without the clutches. And I asked Pastor Chris, he said, I have never seen her after that with the clutches anymore. Glory to God. Hey, God is a good God. He loves you. Amen. And I want to pray for the people who have a problem with your back first. Back problem, you have arthritis in your bones or joint problems, you know, bones problem. And I want you to, you people come first, please. Anybody has a pain in your joints, in your back, in your hands, anybody, come up. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, brother. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.